You're listening to the Family Matters Podcast, brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Join Derek A. Straker and Patrick Webb weekly for faith-fueled conversations about pressing issues, current events, and politics in the Big Sky State. When it comes to faith and freedom, family really matters. Welcome back to the Family Matters Podcast. Derek A. Straker in studio with Patrick Webb. Patrick, happy Easter. It's Good Friday today.
Yeah, happy Easter to you too.
How are you?
I'm doing good today. Yeah, it's been a busy week. Matthew turned 2. So that's always
congratulations. It's awesome.
It's always an involved affair at our house. Many years ago, I started the tradition of putting up streamers around the living room and into the kitchen and around the hallways.
Sure.
And it is an expectation now in our household. So the night before every birthday, whether it's my wife's or my 4 kids, there's an expectation of streamers. And so I've gotten pretty good at it, but rolling out 2 rolls of streamers at the same time and trying to get them to twist and coordinate, look nice. It's a project.
Sure. Sure. Wow. And only you or I can put streamers up really, really high.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. My first job, I worked at Dairy Queen and they had me clean the ceilings.
Sure.
At the Bozeman Dairy Queen. The Bozeman Dairy Queen, if people remember, it kind of was a little bit shorter and the ceiling was very close to my hands.
But it was very clean.
It was clean. Yeah.
Well, we have a lot to be thankful for on a Good Friday. Mm. It's a time to reflect on, the ultimate sacrifice, a sacrifice that our Lord and Savior made. And the defeat of sin and death all in one amazing act from our Heavenly Father. And so there's so much there to unpack. Mm-hmm. But you and I were talking about, there was a lot of uncertainty for even Christ's followers at that time. You have, Peter denying knowing Jesus. Mm-hmm. You have, this terrible darkness at the time, an earthquake, the veil is torn. There's all kinds of things happening. We can look at our modern day and age, the things we're facing as a nation, as a state, the things families are facing. There's a lot of darkness surrounding us.
Yeah.
But there's hope.
Yeah, there's hope. I remember when I was younger, learning about what it meant to be a Christian. And I had a hard time at one point with my faith walk, trying to grasp the understanding that, the crucifix is the focus symbol for Christianity when it was such a symbol of horrific suffering for our Savior. And then, Good Friday, why do we call it Good Friday when it was such an awful day for our Savior? Learning as I got older that Friday is good because Sunday is still coming, right?
That's right.
And one of my favorite songs, by the way, Sunday is Coming by Phil Wickham. And Jeff Laslaffy, he did a great radio update today talking about this, and I think kind of inspired our podcast today.
Oh, absolutely. Sunday is coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's Friday.
Yeah.
But Sunday is coming. Yeah, Jeff did a great job, and it was inspiring. I listened this morning, and I thought, man, that is so true, especially in a week like this week. Mm-hmm. Here at the Montana Family Foundation, let me tell you, there is a lot of darkness, but Sunday is coming. I want to talk about some of these dark things, some of these battles that we're engaged in, and then talk about the hope that is coming. Mm-hmm. The most prevalent one right now is just this week, and we've had a lot of action on this constitutional amendment proposed by Planned Parenthood that would codify and enshrine abortion as a constitutional right in this state. And it's not just abortion, it's an expansion of the types of abortion that would be available. We're not talking just pre-viability abortion. No. This initiative would expand abortion to include partial birth abortion, late-term abortion, post-viability abortion, and they would be able to justify it based on the, quote, good faith, end quote, judgment of a healthcare professional, which I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but healthcare professional is not a defined term in this constitutional initiative. So it could include things like a dentist, a chiropractor, a physical therapist, as long as they, in their good faith judgment, think that your abortion is warranted, you could have an abortion up to the moment of birth. And that's an incredible change to our Constitution that Planned Parenthood, frankly, is trying to downplay and hide the expansive scope of what they've actually proposed here. Mm-hmm. So I say all that because our Attorney General did his very best on Monday of this week to come up with a ballot statement, which is something that's required to go along with any initiative out there. So when people are gathering petition signatures, they're supposed to be presented with a ballot statement that informs the public about what this initiative actually does. Mm-hmm. Well, the Attorney General did just that. And he wrote a ballot statement that said, this is what the initiative does. It allows for partial birth abortion. Mm-hmm. It expands abortion procedures in the state of Montana. It bases the expansion on subjective good faith judgment of medical professionals, and it will increase taxpayer-funded abortions. All of that is true about this initiative. Planned Parenthood, the same day, on Monday, filed a lawsuit to challenge that ballot statement, so we are back in court. And Patrick, you know me as a lawyer. It's kind of funny. Maybe I'm a little sick in the head for enjoying the arguments back and forth, but I've been telling people that every day we spend in court on this is one less day that they are spending gathering signatures. Mm-hmm. And that's really important.
No, I don't think it's sick at all. I think that the legal battles that are taking place, this is a front line in this culture war that's taking place, and you are a warrior on that front line, and you should you should be proud of the work that you get to do facing down on those battles. And I know people across our community listening to this and not listening, future listeners, hopefully, they value the work that you put into it. So I don't think that there's anything sick in it by any means.
Well, you know, I say that in jest. I really do enjoy it because I know what we're fighting for, and at the end of the day, we're trying to save babies. If we are successful, and so far we have been, they haven't gathered a single signature, and they need more than 60,000.
Yeah.
Before June 21st, they don't have a single one. I call that a success so far. Now we've got to keep up the pressure. We've got to keep up the fight, but they have nothing to show for their efforts at this point. Mm-hmm. So if we are successful in keeping this off the ballot, because it shouldn't be on the ballot, then I call that a win for the unborn, for the babies in wombs here in Montana. We're fighting for life. We're fighting for the sanctity of life.
Yeah, and I think with the Supreme Court this week, they also, as I understand, blocked four election integrity pieces of legislation from 2021. And it just, to the layman who didn't study law, it just feels like the court is doing everything they can to beat down their partisan opponents and give the side that maybe they align with, they absolutely align with, a greater chance at winning. This ballot initiative, this is not politics as usual. I mean, like, as you were talking about, this is a radical change in Montana policy that if it is signed or put on the ballot, it'll potentially be on the ballot with only 10%. 10%, as I understand, of Montana, of Montanans at all who put it on the ballot.
That's right.
And that thing, you know, like you said, they're suing on the ballot language. They go after the ballot language because they want it to be hidden, because they know that most Montanans do not have these radical opinions of supporting late term abortion. These are people who, you know, society for a long time, I think, has been just kind of very gradually manipulated or messaged to that we should support these things and that abortion is not, you know, killing a baby. And by belittling this over time, it has moved people to the middle of this, where most people actually support some level of abortion, which is very sad and unfortunate, and a victory, you know, for our opponents. But they don't want people to know that this actually is very radical, because most Montanans wouldn't support it. So their ability to get this passed and signed into law and voted on in November wholly depends on them being able to, you know, be not upfront honest about what this is and try to, again, make it seem like it's not a big deal when it is radical.
It is radical, Patrick. It really is. But like we were saying when we start this out, I mean, there is hope. Sunday is coming. And let's give our listeners some encouragement here, because every time in history, and we can look back biblically, every time in history that there was a great deliverer on the way, Satan was trying to stomp out that next generation. So, and I say this because think about Moses in the Old Testament, great deliverer for God's people out of bondage in Egypt. What happened when he was born? Pharaoh was trying to get rid of all the babies.
Right.
What happened when Jesus was born? Herod, same thing.
Yeah.
Now he's our deliverer. You know, so I say that because a great deliverer is on the way. Here, there is hope, and Sunday is coming.
Yeah.
And we will continue to fight. At the Montana Family Foundation, we believe in the sanctity of life. We believe life begins at conception and ends at natural death. So from conception to the grave, we defend life. That's our position. We don't think the circumstances of your conception change the value of your life. You are formed before you were formed in the womb. God knew you. He had plans for you. And we believe that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what inspires us to get up and fight these battles. And we're fighting them in the courts. Mm-hmm. We're going to fight them in the courts as long as we can. And so far, we're winning.
Yeah.
They haven't gathered a single signature. And again, they need 60,000, more than 60,000 signatures. And they need to have those all turned in by June 21st. And let me tell you, they better be crossing their T's and dotting their I's, because if they don't, they will have another lawsuit on their hands. Right. And they know that.
Right.
It's the same tactics that they use for ballot initiatives that we support. Mm-hmm. So all is fair in love and lawfare. Right.
Yeah.
So
right.
But yeah, that's one reason for hope this Good Friday is that, mm-hmm. look, here in Montana, while other states are making massive constitutional changes and enshrining abortion in their constitutions, here in Montana, we have hope. We have hope for victory. And that's something that I'm really thankful for and really hopeful for here on this Good Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we have people all across the state in all the grassroots work that we're engaged in that are standing up in battles all across the state, whether it's on the abortion issues, whether it's in the school boards fighting for kids, wherever it may be. There's a lot of people. And I think that we have to remember that, you know, we can't save ourselves at the end of the day. We need to be obedient. We need to stand for truth. But at the end of the day, we got to stay focused on Christ. We got to stay focused on his victory is the ultimate victory that's already been won. And we're just here to run the race. We're here to, you know, hopefully lead more people to our Savior. Because in this world, he's our only hope. And I think a lot of people are, you know, if not realizing that he is their only hope, realizing that they can't save themselves, and that, you know, we need to be there to point them in the right direction.
Well, and there's so much hope for the church in Montana as well. It, you talk about as you travel the state and you're meeting with people and you're meeting with folks who are just fired up to get involved and to make a difference and to stand for truth. We are seeing that in our churches. We you know, Keith Downey, the director of our Church Ambassador Network here in Montana, every pastor that he's meeting with is fired up about getting involved and restoring that relationship between the church as a shepherd and government as a shepherd and bringing those two together and ministering to our elected leaders through the church. And it's desperately needed, not just here in Montana, but you know, in every place. In every place where it's been put into action. You know, it started in Iowa and it's now I think in 15 other states, including Montana now. Every state where it's been put in action, it's been wildly successful.
Yeah.
Because people are hungry for that discipleship.
Yeah.
For that ministry from our churches. Mm-hmm. And churches are ready to do it. They're waking up. So that's a lot of hope right there, mm-hmm. Patrick. You know, can you imagine what a different place Montana would be if our churches are ministering to our elected leaders?
Yeah.
That's a vision for hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, many people right now, they have a hard time seeing that hope. They're struggling with different things. And I think that's what it was like for Jesus' disciples. They were traveling around for a long time together. They did go out on their own at different points in time. But when this moment happened, when he was taken from them in the garden, they were scattered in many ways. And I think that, you know, scripture tells us that he did prepare them to a certain degree about, you know, what was coming for his, what his future held. But I think they had no idea really. And in that moment of darkness, confusion, questioning, uncertainty, mourning, you know, all kinds of really kind of negative emotions, but they didn't understand what Sunday was, what had in store for them. It was something beyond what they could imagine. And so wherever people are at, no matter what trials they're facing, I mean, the crazy thing with the bridge that happened this week in Baltimore, there's so many things happening around the world. There's so many questions about, was it this? Was it that? Is it this? Is it that? We have to stay focused on what our mission is, what God has set before us in our own lives, what we can actually do and make a difference in, to not despair, but to stay focused on Jesus and what we believe, you know, the Holy Spirit has set in front of us for our mission to be. And we just keep forward, we just keep focused in on that. And that's where the truth is. That's where certainty is. That's where the hope is. that's where the light is that direction, and kind of focusing in on the questions and not sure that's a good way to kind of go down a hole.
You know, Patrick, you and I, we've talked for hours about all of these things, and I think we've often come to the conclusion that you're not going to catch flack unless you're over target, you know, as Christians. And I think one representation of that principle is found when we look at, you know, what the other side would call efforts to ban books. You know, these are books like Gender Queer and Lawn Boy, even 13 Reasons Why, you know, a book about suicide. And you know, it's an interesting take too when you hear from some more progressive Christians that say, you know, you're just wrong about the Bible if you're not approaching these types of topics with tolerance and acceptance, or you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion, even. But you're not going to catch flack unless you're over the target. And like the disciples in the book of Acts, particularly in Acts chapter 4, they're in front of the elected officials and in a trial of sorts, and they tell these leaders, you know, do what you want with us, but as for us, we can't help but proclaim the truth. We can't help but speak about the things that we've seen and heard. And so as Christians, you know, speaking truth about these topics is one thing that I think we're called to do. It doesn't mean that we're going to convert everyone on these issues. It doesn't mean that we're going to prevent everyone from reading things that we wouldn't let our children read. And I think, you know, to your point, it's more about, like, let's make sure our own house is in order and make sure that we're proclaiming truth. But at some point, the work of the Holy Spirit, we've got to count on as well. And maybe that's where you were going. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's right. And I think that we are, you know, called to take stands, called to take difficult stands. And, you know, it's not new. We talk about on this podcast where we are called as Christ followers to join in many ways in the persecution that Christ faced himself, being a truth teller in that time. And we do that. We got to do that in love, though, because when tension happens, it can just boil over and it can be something really bad. And as Christians, I don't believe that we're called to engage in, you know, that type of hatred towards our neighbors. Christ called us to love our neighbors, even the people who disagree with us very radically. And so, you know, we have to be genuine in that. It can't just be, well, I say that I, you know, love these people. It has to actually be in how we speak about them, you know, behind the scenes, how we, you know, how we go into a situation. All of it has to be done in love. And that, again, is another North Star that I think Christ called us to.
And we do not be overcome by evil, but we overcome evil with good.
Yeah.
So, and what I think I'm trying to say by quoting that scripture is that we're not going to let an evil or a misguided interpretation of scripture or our own faith allow us to compromise our own beliefs in the spirit of, you know, oh, I'm going to be nice. That's worthless. We don't need to do that. We don't need to compromise our faith and our allegiance to Christ to be more Christ-like. That's not what that means. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be overcome by evil. And I think it is evil to have somebody that doesn't share our faith tell us that we're not practicing our faith correctly as they would have us practice our faith. Mm-hmm. You know, that has to be, you know, inspired by our relationship with Christ, our our walk, mm-hmm. our reading the scriptures. And so if we're following and pursuing that relationship with Christ and we're reading the scripture and it says, he created us man and woman, male and female, then it's okay to proclaim the truth that, look, your transgender ideology that you're foisting on young people is a lie. It's okay to say that.
Yeah.
Claiming that truth in love and with compassion for what people might be going through, that there's nothing wrong with that. That's truth. And that is love.
Yeah.
Now there are ways that you could proclaim that message in a not so loving manner. And I recognize that. So you have to approach that with some, deliberate and in deliberance and in intention. But yeah, you don't have to roll over.
It's, yeah. And I think when people take offense to those things, it just shows a lack of, surrender in that person's life. And it'd be one thing if, these individuals came at it from a, actually, I think you're mistaken because this and this and this. But it's usually not that. It's usually flat out rejection, an emotional response, and, well, we should ban the Bible, maybe,
Yeah,
it's sure. Like the type of response it will get.
Sure.
And again, that shows like a lack of surrender that I think as Christians, we're called to have. And I mean, I'm the first person to say that if someone has a different opinion and they want to teach me something new that I haven't learned in the Bible, I learn something new every day, usually in the Bible, especially when I'm talking to other people. And so if someone wants to teach me something that I don't know, I'd love to, hear what they have to say. And I am open to that. But I will absolutely, bounce that against the things that I've learned. I'm not going to just take that, without, a level of skepticism and questioning.
Well, and we're supposed to have discernment.
Yeah.
We're supposed to that Berean challenge, to search out those things in the scripture to determine whether or not they're true. We're called to do that. But that should be our foundation and our bedrock, the scriptures. Getting back to, because I think we need to circle back to hope in this area of challenges to the age appropriateness of books, because it's not about banning books. If you want to go out and in the free market purchase Lawn Boy or Gender Queer or any of these other titles, you're welcome to.
Yeah.
You're welcome to. I think the issue for many is that public schools and public libraries in particular are institutions of government, and they shouldn't be picking winners and losers. And if they're going to use our taxpayer money to buy these sorts of materials, they should at least come with some sort of warning label or some sort of, parental notice or consent for certain minors, in particular. We gotta protect people, in our society through our laws, and minors especially. Those are vulnerable people in our society, and that's what the law is intended to do.
Right.
Not to get too far in the weeds on that.
Yeah.
But the hope here is that through these battles in library committee meetings and school board meetings, we have a population of parents who are getting uncomfortable with the propaganda that, again, is being foisted on young people. And you and I have talked about this before, but people don't really do much until they get uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so I think the hope there is that we're going to see an awakening of young parents, or maybe even older parents, short parents and tall parents and everything in between, waking up to what's being pushed on their children at public schools and at libraries. And they're going to dig in and say, do I want my children having access to this sort of material or being forced to work on this sort of material? And really that's all we're hopeful for, is that parents are restored to that role and that authority over raising their own children. Hmm. I mean, that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Parents active in raising their own children.
Yeah.
What's so terrible about that?
Yeah, but public institutions should not be putting themselves into a position where they are taking a radical position for one side. They just shouldn't be, because they are, you know, again, kind of the view of a public institution is a collective good. And if it's a collective good that is meant to represent everyone who is paying for that thing, I mean, unless there is a strong consensus, like a very significant majority of support for something, they just should stay out of it. They should leave that, you know, out of their purview. And the role of the school does not need to step into this place, especially the public school does not need to step into this place where they are, you know, picking a radical piece of literature because they think that we have to put the most radical pieces of literature in front of our children if they're going to think freely and differently and creatively. It's just nonsense. There's how many books in the school have never been read? And there's just a constant, like, we have to approve new books all the time. Maybe we should read some of the books that have been in there that no one's read, you know, for a long time. I see some great books being thrown out all the time by the public library here in Helena. Mm. And not necessarily like conservative books or anything like that, but just like really great books that I know there's really good lessons in. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad to add that to my shelf if I can, you know? yeah, we need to have hope.
And there is hope. There is hope.
Yeah, there is.
Well,
there is. And it's hard to see it in the dark. It's hard to see it on the Friday.
Well, and talk about darkness, Patrick. I mean, we're standing on the precipice of another election season. And if there's anything people love, it's political ads. And get ready, folks, because you're going to be inundated this election season with more and more and more political advertisements for candidates, for issues. It's coming. You know, that June 21st deadline for Constitutional Initiative 14 that we've talked about during this episode, that's the deadline for all the ballot initiatives. So right after that, you're going to be seeing, you know, advertisements for various issues that either are going to appear on the ballot or are still trying to appear on the ballot. You're going to be seeing it. You're going to be seeing advertisements for candidates. And typically, you know, at a certain point in these races, those advertisements are not all positive. It's everything the other guy did wrong. It's all negative. And that is, it's no fun to be inundated with that sort of darkness. But there's hope on the horizon. There's hope on the horizon for the leaders that we elect here in Montana and nationally. There is hope on the horizon. If you're somebody out there that's, you know, really, really struggling with the way the nation is going, the way our state is going, if you're confused or bewildered or frustrated with the property taxes that have been on the rise or other taxes that have been on the rise, if you're frustrated with, you know, the attack on life and marriage in this state, there's hope on the horizon, because we have another opportunity to elect people in November who share our morals and beliefs and who will, in those elected positions, vote or decide on issues consistent with our morals and beliefs. So that's a great thing about this nation, is we have an opportunity to do that. So there's hope on the horizon for just that. So I don't want to get too far into the weeds because, and I've said that a couple of times because some people might be listening and thinking, well, we only have a two-party system and, you know, that binary option really isn't much of an option when you consider that Washington, D.C. is just a uniparty. Or we still have hope. We still have hope that great leaders will rise up among us who share our morals and beliefs and our convictions, who serve the same God that we do, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that they can make a difference in our society, that we can make a difference in our society and in our culture, that we can be the salt of the earth. Mm-hmm. So there's hope in that. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't be lost on us. I could certainly do without as many political advertisements as we're probably going to see, but still there's hope.
Yeah.
There's hope.
Yeah. Just, you know, put an extra mailbox next to the one you got and just mark it, you know, campaign literature and just have it drop into a hole that goes right to your trash. That'll work for you.
Well, but you know, within that, and I know we joke, but we have hope that the electorate will be informed, you know, and particularly on issues where and candidates where they're not always the most informed, you know. I'm thinking in particular about, you know, our Supreme Court races. We have two seats on the Montana Supreme Court that will be vacant that we have some candidates running for. You know, that's going to be a really important race. I encourage folks to head on over to montanafamily.org, and we have some resources on there about judicial candidates. Check it out. Get informed about who's running for those races, because, and we've talked about this, we had Bowen Greenwood, our clerk of Supreme Court, on the podcast talking about these races are nonpartisan. And that's really a farce, because all of our judicial candidates have an ideology. It's just hidden by that nonpartisan moniker. So get informed. Get informed about these ballot issues. Okay, we have several. We have resources on montanafamily.org. There are resources on the Secretary of State's website. Get informed. That's your responsibility. That's your responsibility to know what you're voting for. To know what you're voting for and to take some ownership in it. So that's just my plug to participate in the franchise. But we have a lot of hope in that, Patrick.
Yeah.
We have a lot of hope. And we can't finish this episode without talking about the ultimate hope that we all share because of what this day represents, Good Friday. The ultimate hope, of course, is our eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Because of what he did for us, for each of us individually, you know, 2,000 years ago. He gave up his life, died, and then rose again to save us from our sins. And for that, that gives us the hope of salvation, the hope that we will be with him in paradise. And there's no greater hope than that.
Yeah, it's a flawless hope. We, you know, we can put our votes and, you know, our support behind the individuals that have good intentions to go up to the state capitol or wherever it may be to make a difference. And there is hope in that. You know, it's a refreshing, hopefully. It's, you know, these people voting for policy that eases the burden upon the Montana family. But where man fails, Christ never does.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, folks, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the Montana Family Foundation with your prayers, with your generous gifts. You know, on behalf of everyone at the Montana Family Foundation, I want to wish you and your family a happy Easter. May God continue to bless you in the state of Montana. Thank you for joining us.